We've heard two passages this morning, and I'm just going to give you a little snippet of my preparation for this preach. Jeremiah, possibly 14 to 15 years old at the time of this passage. He's quite a tough and determined person, although still had his doubts about his abilities. The passage calls Jeremiah, God calls Jeremiah in this passage to be a prophet, and Jeremiah is going to build and plant. Great, do something with that, build and plant. Hold on a minute, and he's going to pluck up and pull down, and he's going to destroy and overthrow. And then later on in Jeremiah, basically his main job is going to be announcing the downfall of Israel to Israel and tell them it's their own fault and it's God's punishment. Okay, and then he's going to be considered irrelevant, unimportant and tortured, and it causes a riot. Fantastic. Okay, so Jesus, right, okay, so Jesus has just previously announced he's going to be the good news to the poor, he's going to release the prisoners, sight to the blind, set the wounded free. Great. Gained a good reputation. People are astonished by what they've heard. Okay. They're ready to be liberated. Brilliant. But he's going to liberate all nations. Okay. They say, oh, isn't this the son of Joseph? Maybe they were really proud of him. Maybe they're thinking, oh, isn't that the son of Joseph? That's one of us. Or maybe they were thinking, well, isn't that the son of Joseph? I mean, why is he saying these things? That's just the son of Joseph. Maybe they were getting ready to taunt him. Okay. And then Jesus insults them. But it's not going to happen to you, because you're all going to disregard me. And he rejects them. Because all this is going to be for the pagans. And so they want to kill him. Great. So Jeremiah is told he's going to destroy and overthrow, and he's going to get tortured for doing his job. And Jesus builds up a great reputation, annoys everybody, and they want to kill him. So, in protest of trying to find a really happy, positive, lovely message for a Sunday morning, instead I'm going to give you a lovely, cute picture of a child. You can see this. Ah. Can anybody tell me who that is?
That's you.
It's got to be me. That's me.
I know that smile.
Okay. So, let's come to the next. So here's another one. Here's me at what you would call kindergarten. We call that preschool. Happy, smiley child. The next photo is what we would call elementary. Well, you call elementary, and we would call that infant school. And so I lived in Coventry. I went to elementary school there, and I have a great family, and I loved, and I wanted for nothing. And so I'm still a happy, chirpy child. And then we go to middle school, still happy, still smiling. No, I was really lucky. We had no major traumas in life. My parents are still together, still with each other. We've had a good childhood, and I'm a happy kid. And then we hit high school. Okay, not quite so happy anymore. So obviously I'm a teenager, so you know, teenagers don't always smile that much. I'm not even going to tell you what's written on that T-shirt. It's really not good. But actually, at this point, things did change for me. So I was at high school. Our high school starts at the age of 11, but here I'm about 15. Most of the way through my time at high school, I was bullied. I was bullied by my friends, by other pupils, sometimes by the teachers. I was bullied for my personal appearance. I had my lunch stolen off me from my friends. And I used to sit next to a girl in math who used to stab me with her compass every so often. And as you can imagine, I was quite shy. And that was part of my problem. As much as I looked like a moody teenager, to my parents I was a moody teenager. But I was actually quite a shy person. And so in the one or two times that I may have spoken out and said, actually, I don't really want you to do that. Actually, I don't like this. I would suffer. I would lose my friends. No one would speak to me for a week, or they'd just steal my lunch again, or something would happen. And so eventually I got too afraid to speak. And so what happened then was I watched people bullying other people, and I watched stealing, and I watched messing around, and I even participated in some of it. Because actually what I did was I lost myself, and I just became what everyone else wanted me to be. Because it was just a bit easier that way. I'll just be what they want me to be. And it took me 15 years to find myself again. And I sometimes wonder, actually, what if I'd have been brave enough right at the start to say, no, I'm not having this. What if someone had spoken the truth out for me and said, no, this should not be happening? You see, Jeremiah and Jesus are teaching us something this morning. Now, in this picture, I'm about the same age as Jeremiah was in the passage. And God is telling Jeremiah that he's going to do all these things. He's going to pluck and pull down, and he's going to overthrow, and he's going to destroy. But God was going to give him the words. God was going to make him the prophet. And so whatever Jeremiah had to do in his life, it's what God had called him to do. And so throughout the rest of the book, Jeremiah does speak out and tells the Israelites, you're going to be destroyed. It's your punishment from God. And he gets criticized and he gets tortured. But he keeps doing it because he knows this is what God's called him to do. And Jesus was speaking the truth to the Israelites. That's what he was doing. And you know, we're also here to be good news to the poor and to release the prisoners and to bring freedom to the oppressed. And at some point, we are going to have to stand up and speak. And people might not like it. And we're going to have to go against the tide. We're going to have to take a risk and say no. We're going to have to speak the truth, whatever the consequences might be. And that's for the good of ourselves, for the good of our families and friends, and for the good of our city, our country, our church, for the world. You see, there is so much fight for in this world, and there is so much truth that needs to be spoken. Bullying is becoming an epidemic, and it's made worse by social media, where people can do faceless insults to each other and can be so much braver than they ever would standing in front of somebody. There are so many more opportunities to bully people. This week we heard quite a disturbing statistic in the UK. 50% of teenage death in the UK is suicide. 50%. And in Canada, the second leading cause of death for 10 to 24-year-olds is suicide. And then we have the environment. Glaciers are shrinking. Sea levels are rising. Animals are becoming extinct on a regular basis. And this is just a few of the impacts that we are having on the world. And yet, there are voices that speak out saying this isn't true. There are strong political voices saying this is fake news. Poverty. There are 1 in 7 people in Canada that live in poverty. In March 2018, there was 1,525 homeless people in Victoria. Of those, 17.4% were under 24. 41% first experienced homelessness under 18. The reasons behind people's homelessness are heartbreaking and normally revolve around somebody doing something and nobody stood up and said no. I have seen homeless people spat on, beaten up, told to just get up and go and get yourself a job, because it's that simple. And we have discrimination, we have racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, lots and lots of discrimination across the world, and we have done for many, many years. But then even in our own lives, there are difficulties. At work, sometimes things happen at work. And sometimes we think, are we brave enough to say, well, no, actually, it shouldn't work like that. That shouldn't be happening. Or do we risk people not speaking to us, losing our job, ruining our reputation? At home, sometimes we have to stand up and say, no, that's not right. Even declaring our own faith, even declaring I'm a Christian, takes a risk, because someone might not like me because I've said that. Every Sunday morning, every preacher that stands in a church takes a risk and speaks a word to the congregation, knowing that there's a possibility that they won't like what you're saying, and they may criticize you, they may moan about you, they may write to the bishop about you. But a good preacher speaks God's word, no matter what the consequences. Declaring our beliefs, declaring God's truth, is difficult, even in the Anglican Church, when you stand up and you tell people within the church what you believe and how you feel. People may well disregard you, walk away from you, won't take communion from you, tell you how can you be a Christian because of what you believe. And it's easier to say nothing, it's easier to go status quo, follow the crowd, but ultimately there is no freedom in that. There's no freedom for you, there's no freedom for anybody else. And actually the truth is the truth. Now, I want to make sure that I'm clear here. I'm not talking about the content of what's spoken in these passages. These were very specific words for very specific situations that God was speaking into. So I am not encouraging people to go out there and criticise and say, this is God's punishment. And that is not my message this morning. Actually, the message this morning is the fact that God gives us the truth and he puts it on our lips. And that truth is always steeped in love. See, Jeremiah and Jesus were both warning what was to come, but nobody wanted to listen. Both of them had people trying to silence them. Jeremiah was told that he would pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, but he was told that he would build and plant. And so there was restoration. And there was Jesus was speaking of freedom for all nations, not just Israel. But they didn't like that. And he was standing against their discrimination. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be confident, well-versed. Jeremiah doubted his own abilities and said, well, surely you don't mean me. I am just a boy. And that reminds me of Moses, who stood there at the burning bush when God said, you are going to lead my people. And said, not me. I can't do that. But God's response was, don't say, I am only a boy. I send you, I command you, and I am with you. And I have put my words in your mouth. If I'd had this message at 15, maybe I would have been brave enough to stand up and say no. Take the consequences, whatever might happen. Maybe I would have lost my friends for a week. But actually, maybe they weren't really my friends in the first place. And maybe things would have been a bit different. You see, people will say, we can't save the world. It's too big a task. But that's just not true. We can. We can save the world one truth at a time. One person at a time. And if we all did this, imagine what we could do. And God says to us, I send you, I command you, and I'm with you. And I have put my words into your mouths. And so we don't have to have it all sorted. We just need to be ready to stand up and open our mouths.